Welcome to the Sermon Podcast by Church of the Nazarene. Stay tuned for the latest updates and new episodes by subscribing. Find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Join us live every Sunday morning at 9 on our YouTube channel. For in-person worship, join our English services at our Harrisonburg and Elkton campus at 9 and 10:30. Or our Spanish service at our Harrisonburg location at 11:45. Explore Celebrate Recovery every Monday night at 6 o'clock. Thank you for tuning in.
We're going to begin today. You've often heard me talk about how Kid City friends get to have snacks. I have some feels about that because I like snacks too. Well, today I brought us a few snacks as a teaching moment. You see, I learned something new this week about the English language. Now, if you've been here more than 3.5 minutes, you know that I probably didn't pay a lot of attention in high school English class. But anyway, the Lord's working beyond that. I learned this week about retronyms. Retronyms. Has anyone heard of retronyms before? All right, well, let's learn together. I bet you've heard of them. We just maybe not by that name. So these are a retronym. I brought a picture. What kind of M&Ms are these? I heard it. Plain. These are plain M&Ms. Okay. Who likes plain M&Ms, by the way? All right. Keep your hands up. There we go. All right. So a retronym. A retronym is a new name for an existing object. A name that differentiates from the original form a version from a subsequent one. What's that mean? That's a lot of hoopla to jump through. That means that we call them plain M&Ms because of these. Peanut. Why y'all putting your hand up back there? This is a teaching lesson, not about the snack. You see, all M&Ms were just M&Ms until these came along. So we needed a retronym. Okay, to differentiate between M&M. I'll feel sorry for you back there. Y'all can fight over them. Who gets what? First to get up and run. All right, so these are a retronym, a new name for an existing item. A retronym frequently reminds my wife and I that we are getting a little bit older. So we used to love, when we were younger, country music. Now, I'm not going to date ourselves. But I'll just say that Billy Ray Cyrus had a mega hit with Achy Breaky Heart when we were kids. Some of you are already going to have that stuck in your mind now. You're welcome. That was just country music back then, right? So we grew up with that, but now it's not just called country music anymore, it's classic country. I mean, what a jab to the heart, right? That retronym reminds us we're not young anymore. It's nothing like the songs you grew up with to find now having to be on the classic stations. It just hurts my heart a little bit. I'm in denial. But that's a retronym. You see, retronyms are everywhere in our daily lives. With the advent of cell phones, the phones in our house have become landline phones, right? You remember those phones that hung in the kitchen? They had that spirally cord that was 25 feet long. You could walk anywhere in the house with it. That's a landline now that we have cell phones. That's a retronym. An analog watch. I mean, before digital watches, every watch was analog. It was just a watch. But the advent of digital, we have to separate them with a retronym. You say, well, what on earth does this have to do with anything but retronyms and M&Ms and yah, 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 whatever? Well, Jesus used a retronym. It's in the scriptures. It's pretty popular. It's in John chapter 3. We're going to begin there today. We're going to spend most of our time in that chapter today. But Jesus used a retronym in verse 3 of chapter 3. Jesus speaking, he says, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." It's a retronym. Born again. This retronym of born again, it implies that once we have been born, there is another birth, there's a regeneration, there is some sort of newness that must happen. Something distinct and different from our natural birth. By the way, y'all all did excellent in your natural birth. Way to go on that assignment, being born the first time. But this is talking about being born again. But what does that mean? How does that happen? Right? If you're wrestling with that, if you're puzzled with that, like, you're really in good company. Because as Jesus spoke this, he was speaking to one of the most renowned religious teachers in his day. He had a PhD level understanding of religion, and he was confused too. And so if the retronym of born again is a little squirrely this morning, we're in good company. We're going to unpack it together. But this idea of born again, whatever Jesus meant, it must be important. Because look what he says there. He says, you will not even see the kingdom of God without it. Wow. Like, this born again thing matters a lot. And if we keep going in the story, what we'll see in just a moment is Jesus says that without this new birth, without being born again, we can't enter the kingdom of God. And so what he's saying, well, without this new birth, without this second regeneration, without something new happening, we're not going to perceive, we're not going to see what Jesus is doing. We're not much less going to be able to enter into what he's doing, the kingdom of God. Like, this is way beyond peanut M&Ms, right? This is a matter of life, eternal life, and it's a matter of death. Born again. So let me ask you this morning, have you experienced this new birth? Have you been born again? Do you know what Jesus is talking about? Can you look across your story, your life? Can you point to a moment where you came before him and you received from him something so new, so radical, so different that you can only say, ha, I've been born again. Have you been born again? Can you see the kingdom of God? Have you been brought into it? Is something alive in you, different, anew? Are you born again? It's a critically important question because Jesus is clear. This idea, this regeneration is the only way to enter the kingdom of God. It's important for every one of us, this retronym. Today, we're going to continue with part four of our teaching series called 4-1. 4-1. Throughout this teaching series, we're seeking to know and understand and kind of walk with Jesus in his one-at-a-time pursuit of people. Now, we see that in Jesus' earthly ministry that he accomplished his worldwide redemption story. He accomplished that big plan one person at a time so often. And that's what we mean when we say that Jesus is for one. And so throughout the series on this multi-week journey, we're following along Jesus' footsteps. We're seeing those encounters, and we're asking ourselves a searching question. What would it be like for us to take on his missional strategy one at a time? You see, we are comfortable and frequent in praying for our world, our country, our community, and that's a good thing. Let's keep doing that. But the idea here is that we see Jesus engaging one-on-one. What would that look like for you and for me? That we would engage in an intentional relationship with somebody in our circle of influence who we believe or we aren't sure if they're in relationship with Jesus. And we would enter that relationship with them to allow the love of Christ to flow through us to them until they come to experience it themselves. That's what we're talking about when we say 4-1. There's cards across the back of the tables there this morning, and I would encourage you, if you don't have one yet, grab one, grab three, and begin to pray, seek the Lord about who you would have, who he would have for you to engage in that intentional relationship with, to take up his missional strategy one at a time. And you can have more than one, please do, but let's have at least one together. And we begin to take that journey and follow the leading of the Spirit in relationship with someone that he's put in our path. That's what it is to be for one. So today, as we continue in this series, we're going to look at the story of Jesus with a famous encounter, a one-on-one conversation that happened at night. this one-on-one happened with a guy who had climbed the ladder of religion all the way to the top, yet he still found himself searching. He found himself seeking. He even found himself needing something more. This is the story of Jesus and Nicodemus. We see that Jesus is for one. We're going to be in John chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Before we dive into the scriptures, I would just invite you to pray with me that he would open our hearts and our minds to the truth of his word this morning as we study together. So would you bow with me? Father in heaven, we give you thanks today for this chance to gather, Lord, to be in your presence together as the church. Lord, as we open your word today, we get to hear or read and study a one-on-one dialogue you had with Nicodemus. Lord, open our eyes, open our ears and our hearts to the truth of your word as we consider this retronym, Lord, born again. Lord, we are in need of new life, of cleansing from sin. And so, Lord, speak to us, speak to the great need of our heart and our life today, as you spoke to Nicodemus. We love you, Lord, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The text will be on the screen this morning. There's also a YouVersion plan created if you are a YouVersion user. But John chapter 3, beginning at verse 1, says that, "Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, 'Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you were doing if God were not with him.'" As the chapter opens, we're introduced to Nicodemus as a Pharisee and a member of the Jewish ruling council. Now, those two terms in the first century, they were loaded with meaning and significance. To be a Pharisee, they were an elite group of people who had sworn to uphold all of the law and the oral traditions that went along with it. They literally gave their life. They separated themselves from much of the day-to-day just so that they could perfectly follow the ordinance of the Mosaic law in their time. And they believed by their pursuit of perfection, they could usher in the coming of Messiah. They had literally given their life to living the perfect letter of the law. And this idea of Jewish ruling council, they were also known as the Sanhedrin. You'll see that in other places in the Gospels. This was the highest legal, legislative, and judicial body among the Jewish people. If you wanted to put it into our terms today, you might say, this is like the Supreme Court. And yet we see this man, Nicodemus, there. He's at the top. He's really a portrait, if you will, of the best of the best in the Jewish mind. And he's coming to Jesus with some questions. He comes at night, and perhaps this is so that he's not recognized in his pursuit of more of asking questions. And their conversation begins with Nicodemus sharing a perspective that he and his colleagues believe there's something different. There's something a little bit more about this Jesus. You know, they've seen the miracles, they've heard the authoritative teaching, and they're beginning like, who is this Jesus? He must be from the Lord, or at least the Lord is with him in some special sense, because what Jesus is doing defies their categories. They don't understand it, and so they're beginning to say, there's something special about this guy. And so Nicodemus enters this nighttime interview, and he's asking questions. Like, underneath this opening introduction is really questions of, who are you? What are you doing here? Are you just a great teacher and a prophet, or something more? That's really what's in Nicodemus's heart. And rather than just Jesus opening up his credentials, he kind of changes direction on him. He turns the tables on the one who normally has all the answers. Let's continue in verse 3. Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." "How can someone be born when they're old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." If we were honest, being the idea of born again is kind of a strange retronym, right? Like, it's a strange idea. Like, for real, how is someone supposed to be born a second time as an adult? Think about that. Like, that's basically Nicodemus's question for Jesus. Like, what are you talking about? How is this going to work? And this is one of the most prestigious religious leaders in all of Israel. He's asking questions. But for Jesus, he's really clear because you see the emphasis, right? Very truly, I tell you, don't miss this. No one can see the kingdom of God unless they're born again. Because Nicodemus came and says, hey, we see these things. And Jesus says, no. You're not going to see what I'm up to unless you're born again. What Jesus is pointing to here is an altogether different kind of birth. It's an altogether different kind of life than what we received from our mom. It's from above. It's within the spiritual realm. And this idea of again, it can literally mean a second time and quantity, or it can refer to a different source as meaning from above. And so in our conversation, our text here, it seems to be referring to both. That to see the kingdom of God, something new from another source must be born. It must come alive within us, born again. That Nicodemus was struggling with this, was struggling to keep up with this retronym is clear by his response. What do you mean? Like, this is a brand new way of thinking. He had literally spent his entire life obeying the law, following all the commandments, but now Jesus says, bro, that ain't it. You got to be born again. Nicodemus is going, what in the world? Like, help, please. Well, Jesus continues. He says in verse 5, very truly, again, emphasis, very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. What we see here is that Jesus is compassionately attentive to the one person sitting before him. And so he kind of resets this retronym for Nicodemus. He puts it in a little bit different way. He says, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and spirit. And look, there is a lot of scholarly debate about what Jesus meant by water and spirit. The commentary I was working with this week gave 7 different possibilities of what that can mean. Relax, I'm not giving you all 7. But today, there is a pretty clear connection to an Old Testament scripture, and that's in Ezekiel chapter 36. We read it just a little bit ago. God was speaking through the prophet Ezekiel, and he says there, I will sprinkle clean water on you, water and spirit, right? I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities, from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. What God is speaking to and looking forward to is the work of Messiah, of Jesus, and that his work would be a cleansing, a washing from sin, and it would also be a regeneration, a birth of a new spirit, a new heart in his people. With all of this new, what better way to bring this together than to say, to experience this, to get in on what God was talking about, to get in on what Jesus is doing, you got to be born again. It's that radically new and different. So you fast forward to Jesus' conversation with Nicodemus, and Jesus is looking at this guy and he's saying, look, if you don't have this cleansing, if you don't experience this new life, you're not going to enter in the kingdom of God. You're not even going to be able to perceive what I'm doing. Now, think about this for a minute. This is Jesus speaking to one of the most prestigious leaders, the guy who lives so perfectly. Like that should call our hearts to attention. If all of Nicodemus's efforts, if all of his knowledge couldn't gain him entrance to the kingdom of God, what chance do I have? I can't obey a speed limit sign. Y'all laughing, I know you go five over. Right? But thankfully, entrance to the kingdom of heaven comes through the cleansing and the regeneration of the Holy Spirit of God. That's being born again. That's how we become in right relationship with God the Father. That's what it is that we're trying to wrap our minds around. That this is not a pursuit of legality. This is a step of faith by the grace of God to receive new life. Born again. As much as we wrestle to get our minds around this idea, Nicodemus is still struggling too. Let's look at verse 9 as this conversation continues. How can this be? Nicodemus asked. What are you talking about? You are Israel's teacher, Jesus said, and you don't understand these things? A little bit of a poke there. Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know, we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? He says, no one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Verse 14 says, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life in him. I have a clip this morning that helps us maybe see this conversation, to maybe even feel a little bit of what Nicodemus may have felt that night. Let's watch together.
One can do these signs you do without having God in him. Only someone who has come from God.
And how is that belief going over in the synagogue? Which is why we are here at this hour. What else?
What have you come here to show us?
A kingdom.
That is what our rulers are worried about.
No, not that kind.
Then what?
A sort of kingdom that a person cannot see unless he is born again.
Born again?
Yes.
You mean like a new creature? A conversion from Gentile to Jewish?
No, that's not what I'm talking about.
Then what is born again? I hope you don't mean return to the womb, because that would be a problem for me. My mother, may she rest in peace, is dead.
Truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That part of you, that is what must be reborn to new life.
How can these things be?
Ah, a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things.
Huh? I'm trying, Rabbi.
I know. Do you hear this?
What?
Listen. What do you hear?
The wind.
How do you know it's the wind?
Because I can feel it. I hear its sound.
Do you know where it comes from?
No.
Do you know where it's going?
No.
That's what it is to be born again of the Spirit. The Spirit may work in a way that is a mystery to you. And while you cannot see the Spirit, you can recognize his effect.
mind is consumed with thoughts of what a stir these words would cause among the teachers of the law.
Yes, and I do not expect otherwise. I speak of what I know and have seen, and it has not been received by the religious leaders.
It is hard to receive.
So if I have told you of earthly things, and you do not believe, how can I tell you heavenly things?
I believe your words. I just fear you may not have a chance to speak many more of them before you are silenced.
I have come to do more than speak words, Nicodemus.
More miracles?
Yes. But even more than that. Do you remember when the children of Israel complained against God and against Moses in the wilderness of Paran?
Yes. They wanted to return to Egypt and they cursed the manna that God sent them.
And then?
They were bitten by serpents and they were dying. But God made a way for them to be healed.
Moses lifted the bronze serpent in the desert and people only needed to look at it. So will the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes in him may have eternal life.
Our people are not dying from snake bites. They're dying from taxation and oppression.
I'm sorry to disappoint you, but I did not come to deliver the people from Rome.
Then from what?
From sin. From spiritual death. God loves the world in this way. That he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life.
So this has nothing to do with Rome. It's all about sin.
God did not send his son into the world to condemn it, Nicodemus. He sent him to save it through him. It's as simple as Moses' serpent on the pole. Whoever believes in him will not be condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already. Have you ever heard anything like this before?
Shh. We don't know how much Nicodemus left understanding that night. We may never know. But for Jesus, this born-again idea was a basic understanding that he felt was easy to see, was clear in the scriptures. But yet, Nicodemus was missing it. He's still confused. And kind of what is one more attempt to help Nicodemus understand what he's talking about, Jesus likens his own work to the story of Numbers 21 in the Old Testament. And that story is where the people of God, of the people of Israel, are sinning by grumbling and complaining against the Lord. And the venomous snakes come out, and many people are dying from the bite of these venomous snakes. And the cure for them in that moment was that Moses had fashioned a bronze serpent, and he was to lift that to a pole, and they were to look at it. It was a look of faith. To look for healing in that moment. And Jesus is telling Nicodemus, look, that it's going to be in that same way. When he is lifted up on the cross, all who look to him in faith will be saved. Those who are experiencing the bite and the sting of sin, those who are living in its death, that if they will look to him, they will experience new life, this new birth in Christ. And friends, this is really the answer to Nicodemus's question, right? Because he's still trying to go, what is this thing? How is that even possible? And Jesus says, look, to be born again, to enter into the kingdom, you must believe in the work of Christ. You must look to him in faith in his life, death, and resurrection. You must receive the cleansing, the purifying from sin. You must have his spirit born within you. That's what it is to be born again. So can I ask you today, have you been born again? Are you experiencing this new life? Look, that wind thing, like we don't understand, I mean, we understand the wind, we have miles per hour, and we can tell what, but like, we still wrestle with that. And that's this idea with the spiritual realm, is that Jesus said, you don't have to have it all figured out, but you see it, you know it. And so today, you don't have to have this born again thing all teased out, but you got to believe. Have you been born again? Are you experiencing new life? Have you experienced the cleansing from sin? And look, friends, this is not a religious question. This is not a religious question, because I'm not asking you whether you cuss too much. I'm not asking you how you drive or how you treat your neighbor. I'm not asking you a religious question. I'm asking you, do you have a relationship with the resurrected Son of God? Are you born again? Yes, there is life we need to live from that, but it begins with receiving life from Him. Have you been born again? Think about it. Nicodemus, man, he was the most religious person any of us would have ever known. He practically lived in the church. He knew all the rules. He prayed all the time, multiple times a day. He gave of his money. He served. He did everything down to the letter perfect. And Jesus looks right at him and says, you're missing it. You got to be born from above. Friends, being in right relationship with God, being born again, is not a pursuit of a set of laws or religion. It's a step of faith by the grace of God, where we believe in Jesus and the work of the cross and His life, death, and resurrection. And we come to Him and say, God, I'm living in that death that You tried to save me from, that You came to save me from. I'm a sinner, and I need cleansing. And Lord, I need life. I need life. That's what it is to be born again. Arguably, the most famous scripture in all of history comes right after our story. John 3:16 says, for God so loved. For God so loved the world, that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. You see, friends, the truth is, without this new birth, without the life of Christ within us, we are dead. Paul says later in the New Testament, in the book of Ephesians, he says, as he's speaking of our life, like our living, breathing, walking around life, he says of that life, before we met Christ, we were dead. We were dead in our transgressions and sins. And friends, that's why we need new life. This is what the prophets pointed to. This is what Jesus is talking about. And that's the invitation before you today. Have new life in Christ. Be born again. It can be true for you today. Place your faith in Him. Just trust Him. Ask Him. Confess that you have a need, that you recognize that apart from Him, man, we are broken. We are sinful. So, Lord, I believe. I believe. Will You come and birth that life in me? And friends, just like you have a birthday to celebrate when you came into this world, friends, you'll have a birthday September 1st, 2024. I was born again. We're going to respond in two ways this morning. I would invite you to stand. Last week, we studied two stories from Luke chapter 8. The story of Jairus and the story of the woman who was seeking Jesus for healing. We spoke about their faith, how that drove them to seek Jesus for different kinds of healing. And we spoke about how Jesus saw them, and I feel like I missed an opportunity last week to pray together, to pray specifically for those who would want to reach out in faith, that God would heal them, would bring a touch physically or emotionally or mentally or for their family. And so today, in response, there's a couple of us are going to be in the back, myself and Pastor Terry and Brother Billy. We're going to be in the back, and we've got our anointing oil with us. And we're going to be here and be present to pray with you. Now, there's no magic in the oil. Just like there was no magic when the woman touched Jesus' garment, it's a symbol, it's a reaching out in faith today. And so here in just a minute, as the band sings, as we worship together, if we can pray for you, if you would like to be anointed, would you come to the back? You can say as much or as little as you want, but we just want to make space to pray with you. And the second response today is, if you're here today and you're not sure if you've been born again, maybe you know, maybe that's not a question. But wherever you're at in that, I would just invite you to come back and pray with us. You see, nobody's going to know why you're moving today. It never matters, but it really doesn't matter today why you're moving. It's none of anybody else's business. This is between you and the Lord. And so whether you're stepping out to be prayed for healing, or you're stepping out because you want somebody to join you in seeking the Lord for new life, to be born again, would you come? Friends, don't miss this opportunity to be born again. Your life will never be the same. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word today. We thank you that you have preserved for us the conversation you had with Nicodemus. Thanks for your word. And Lord, we thank you for your Spirit that is here, is moving, is applying this truth to our hearts even now. Lord God, convincing us of our need and convicting us, Lord, of our sin. But your word says you did not come to condemn, but to give life. So Lord, today we are confessing to you that we need cleansing and forgiveness from sin. And Lord, that we need new life, to take this heart of stone and give us a heart of flesh. Your life birthed within us, Lord, to be born again. Lord, search us today. We are your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If we can pray with you this morning, we'll be in the back as the band leads us in worship.
Thank you for tuning in today. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and stay updated on our latest episodes. If you have any questions about our church or ministry, feel free to reach out to us via email at info@cotnaz.org.